Welcome to a rerun of Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And this today would be the 22nd of January, which will actually be re-archived for Saturday night because we had our little hacker from Washington hacking away on our schedule. And that continued on afterwards. I sent him a couple of emails and or a couple of notices, and they continue. Every time I send them a notice, the hacking would begin. So anyhow, that's what remote viewing does for you. Anyway, today we're going to talk about what we were going to talk about the other night. And the first thing I want to bring up is the camera. Now, today the camera is not going to be on me, but it's on these paintings, and it's on, actually I'll pan it around a little bit, and you can see the crystals. They're very pretty in the sun. This is the vortex where people come from all over the world. People like Sai Baba have been here to acknowledge this vortex. And this vortex is monitored by Andromedans. Andromedans are an extraterrestrial race that are very humanoid. They're just kind of tall. The paintings that you look at on the camera at night are paintings that I did with Sannyasi back in 1973, when I first had contact with her. They're energy paintings. The one over the fireplace has got like a cross on it, and it depicts two worlds. One is the astral plane on the right and the physical plane on the left. And there's a big cross and a big eye there, and oftentimes people see in the center of that painting, they see a lot of different faces. The painting on the right of that, the orange one, is a painting into the spiritual world and the angel world, and it also moves. So that's all kind of interesting how all that works. And the other night, those of you that are listening, we'll do the fast chat again, if you want. Not a problem. So go ahead, and I'm going to try to answer a few of the questions that, I guess they're not on here now because when I did this little remote viewing thing, that took up the rest of the space. But I will. I do remember a couple of the questions. And by the way, if anybody wants to call in, feel free to call in on 877-876-5227 and 888-810-8322 on Canada, and direct 530-876-3222 from international, dial 1 first, America's country code. So what I started to talk about the other day is the government getting out of control, like they always do at a certain point in the civilization. It always happens. It's always happened when there's a government. And to look at how this works and really get a feel for it and a pulse for it, we'll go right into that question that was asked by me by one of the listeners the other night was, what's this thing about the center of the universe or center of something or other, he wanted to know, that we rotate around? But what he was referring to, what I'm referring to now, is called the precession of the equinox. The equinox being our planetary cycle, the combination of all however many planets we have. The numbers change daily now. We were at 9, we went to 10, we're at 12. I don't know how many planets we got out there. There's a bunch. But if you want to call them asteroids or planets, there becomes a tiff on that. So anyway, it takes 26,827.5 years to rotate around the Pleiades. So 26,827.5. All right? If you divide that by 12, all right, you end up with the numbers of the ages, all right? So I'll get my little calculator out here, and I'll give you a number. It's 26,827.5. That's leap year, right? Many of those divided by 12 equals, 26,827.5 divided by 12 equals, I can't calculate it, broke. Anyhow, it's about 2,250 years per cycle. Now, what happens is you divide that by half, all right? Divide that by half, so you divide your 26,827.5 and you end up with approximately 12,000 years. And then 12,000 years of darkness, and there's 12,000 years of light. And so Hitler, if you look at, remember, he wanted to do the 1,000 years of Reich. He even knew about this, the precession of the equinoctial cycle. He knew it quite well. And he knew it so well that he planned a lot of the Autobahns, a lot of the battles that were fought on ley lines, because he knew the ley lines are affected by... he knew that the ley lines were affected by the precession of the equinox. And that's pretty brilliant if you think about, you know, how strategies could possibly work. So we have 12,000 years of darkness. And we have 12,000 years of darkness. We are going into what I call the Renaissance period. Okay? When we go through the Renaissance period, what happens is our consciousness sort of fades away. It just sort of fades away. By the way, I did get the calculator. 2235 is approximately the number of the single 12. So we go through a period of time, and then we come out of the Renaissance period. This is where our body chemistry starts to kick in, where our bodies are made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Okay, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Okay. The oxygen atom is the prana. It's the animation factor for the cellular structure. Okay. Take oxygen away from the human body, like our global warming is doing, and the consciousness starts to suffer. The amount of animation, people start to function outside their bodies, okay, which they're starting to do right now, as you can see. That's why we don't use turn signals. You have to be psychic in California, one of my big jokes of all time. Nitrogen is used to make protein in the human body or explosives in the chemistry world. Okay, so nitrogen becomes the collagen in the body, of course, which vitamin C and different nutritional regimes will increase the strength of the binding factors. All right. Then we have hydrogen. Hydrogen is the atom of consciousness. Okay. Atom of consciousness, meaning that the seven levels of consciousness that we experience as seven different feelings in our body have to be reanimated into the body through the hydrogen atom. The carbon atom is the shape, it's the overall shape of the binding substance. So in other words, the carbon atom becomes the binding shape of the form, the protein becomes the form, the oxygen becomes the animating factor, and the hydrogen then feeds consciousness into the animation. Otherwise, for example, when somebody has a serious brain injury, one of my volunteer things I do is a place called High Hope where they had brain injuries from car wrecks and motorcycle wrecks and bicycle wrecks and skateboard wrecks and skiing wrecks. And when I work with those people, a lot of them were very brilliant until they had this mishap. After they have the mishap, the hydrogen atom doesn't function anymore. Their bodies are healthy. They may have some scarring and around where they had their serious injuries and some depressed cavities in their head and some of them. But the bottom line is, the body's all working again. They're in good health, but they just aren't the same person they were anymore because the hydrogen animation factor is not there. So, as we rotate around the Pleiades every, 26,000 years, what happens is the body starts to animate, become much more animated in consciousness. Starting from the 6,000, end of the 6,000 year period of darkness, which we've recently surpassed, into the entering of the dawn of Aquarius. Okay, and then we've come. So what's happened is there are astrological periods are given to these entire motions. Okay, there's six astrological signs that work in the darkness, and there's six astrological signs that work in the light. Beginning of the light would be Aquarius, okay? Moving on from there, all points downward towards the summer month. It's kind of like the summer of life and the winter of life, if you look at it. And secondly, speaking of seasonal energies, okay? The energy, the astral energy, which we're going more and more into now, is now much more prevalent in the spring than it was. During the winter months, a lot of the UFO phenomena, a lot of the spiritual stuff, a lot of the Stargate thing. Somebody mentioned about the Stargate the other night. We have a Stargate here in this living room. It's right by the fireplace where the picture is with the cross. That is the Stargate. There is some equipment above it that's not shown on the video that is activated to turn the Stargate on. But during the winter months of the Earth, the Stargate energies and the higher astral frequencies are down at the core of the Earth, along with the Earth-etheric energy. Just like sap goes into the ground in the northern hemisphere, okay? This is hemispherical stuff. I mean, it's divided at the equator. It becomes less noticeable or less tangible, the differential at the equator, obviously. And then, of course, the seasons reverse when you get below the equator towards Antarctica and Australia and New Zealand, etc. So I'm now speaking from the north region of the equator of the Earth, and the energy is starting to come out of the ground now. As it comes out of the ground, it brings the life force, the planetary life force, with it. And as it comes up, it touches the sun. The sun, meanwhile, is releasing what's called a vitality globule, which is written about in both my books, Death of Ignorance and The Rays of Truth, if you want more information. And the vitality globule vitalizes the Earth's pranic energy as it comes up through a plant. And as a result, plants start to turn green. Chlorophyll becomes the atom of choice, whereas hemoglobin is the atom of choice in a human. They're very similarly chemically construed, except the human blood is an octahedron in a carbon atom shape, and a plant chlorophyll's blood is a tetrahedron in a three-sided or six-sided pyramid shape. Okay. Next thing that's very important to note is that with the pyramid itself, the Great Pyramid in Egypt, the one that's called the Cheops Pyramid, okay, that particular pyramid, if you were to look at the number of inches around the base of it, they're called pyramidal inches. And there are 26,827.5 pyramidical inches around the base of the Great Pyramid, okay? And as a result of that, you can now see that the builders of that pyramid were very in phase, in concourse with the precession of the equinox. Now, as we come around from the very dark side of the 6,000-year period of darkness, say going back 6,000 years ago of a 12,000-year cycle, the first thing that started to happen was that the Egyptian pharaohs, the Mexican Toltecs, the Aztecs, the Incas, they all woke up to nature 6,000 years ago and began to construct their temples of the sun, their temples of the moon, the Great Pyramids. The dynasty started in Egypt, being kicked off under King Dozier, which 3,000 years ago, of which a great prophet came from there, a great doctor, a martial artist named Iwahotep, came out of that period of time, and actually brought medicine to Egypt and Africa. He was the first big doctor of that. So what we're seeing here then is the consciousness of certain individuals, not the entire planet, is starting to really change and wake up. Then as we come around further and further, the religions start to become factions. If you start to look at the time of Elijah, if you look at the time of Moses, we're further down in the dynasties. They want to make the great sojourn from the Egypt to the Promised Land, which would be somewhere where Jerusalem is now in Israel. And so that movement started. Well, about this time, if you remember, the Romans were doing all their conquering all over the place. And so the Romans, they religious-wise, they really didn't have, obviously, they somewhat of Catholicism was there, but they were not a big religious group, per se. But when we got further down in the last 1,500 to 2,500 years, religion started to really solidify. Belief systems became a form of belligerence. And as a result, we began to have the Holy Wars and the Inquisition. Now we're down to less than 2,000 years, and that's what's starting to happen. So in order to protect our religious rights, we began to form democracies, governments, totalitarian governments, all different types, you know, of, you know, full-on Hitler-type, Stalin-type dictatorship. All of this started to form. As this formation took place, currency systems began to come into to view. And these currency systems, representing an energy now. Remember, with seven levels of consciousness, they represent the third ray, the Holy Ghost, green, the thyroid chakra, you know, the throat chakra. These currency systems in the female energy began to become the cause of wars, become the cause of depression, become the cause of poverty and extreme wealth. They became a cause in their own nature, and they were being, of course, used as a manipulating factor by the governments that were put together to protect the people, as they said, from other governments that were protecting their people from their religious beliefs. So at this point, church and state was somewhat aligned. Then as more time went on, the government started to seize control and manipulate the people. And that's pretty much where we've been for the last 500 years. At some point, you know, in this country, we began to reach out for freedom. My triple great-grandfather, Ethan Allen, was one of the Revolutionary War heroes that started the Revolutionary War. When Colonel Parker, who was in his command in the Lexington Regulars, I asked Ethan Allen, well, if we're going to be free of the British tyranny and the taxation without representation, what are we going to do? How are we going to start the war? And Ethan Allen turned around and says, God damn it, somebody's got to die. That's exactly what his quotations were. So then Colonel Parker went out and murdered, cold blood, 50 regulars on the Lexington Concord Bridge in Lexington. And that began the Revolutionary War. Then Washington was down in Valley Forge, camped out. He was being an aristocrat. Ethan Allen was a 7-foot-tall real estate salesman from New Jersey, if you can believe that. He was not part of the Royal Blue Bloods at all, even though he was captured by King George III and returned later because he scared the hell out of King George. But anyway, and that's just all in my book, but I'm just covering this anyway. A lot of you probably haven't read all of this or heard it. So at the same time, on the Boston, at the Continental Congress in Boston, Hancock and all the different Franklin, everybody was there. They were trying to get the Declaration of Independence signed, but nobody would sign it. And so then what happened was a stranger, the Congress was closed off. It was in a church building and converted into a Congress hall. The British didn't mind that these colonists had these meetings. They didn't think anything of them. But anyhow, they had it sealed off. And a person from the White Brotherhood, Count Saint Germain, appeared on a balcony, and he said, sign that document. And that's when, of course, John Hancock put his famous signature down. That happened almost simultaneously with Ethan Allen starting the war up on the bridge. And then, of course, Paul Revere made his famous run, and all hell broke loose. Ethan Allen then went up to Fort Ticonderoga. And there was, I forget the general who was in charge of that, but it wasn't Beauregard, but it was another one. Ethan Allen went in with 8 of his regulars and had him surrender the fort. He put his musket in his mouth, snuck in the fort, surrendered the entire fort, which had 69 cannons. The cannons were then brought down to fight the British at a later time. South of there, they were brought down into Virginia by another general. It's quite an interesting story. In this lifetime, Wes Parker was my business partner when I worked with Dr. Donsbach in the mid-80s, and we had his triple great-grandfather was alongside of mine. His was the one that fired the shot. He lived over in Pacific Palisades, and he was also won the World Series for the Dodgers as the first baseman in 1972, so he had a little bit of color in his own life. What I'm leading up to with all of this is today is that the government is in full regression, again, taking away our constitutional freedoms. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a tribute to TSA here at the end of the show in our Hot Rod to Hell section. We're going to cover something that's going to be kind of interesting, appropriate for this. But remember the magic of Count Saint Germain. Remember the magic of the spirit. And we lost a lot of battles. I mean, we lost a lot of battles in the Revolutionary War when it first started. And Ethan Allen got captured. He got over in front of King George III and told him that, you know, you keep me captive, I'll come back and haunt your families and their families and their families, and I will become a curse upon your family. And if you listen to my President Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, 25 comparison list, like John Booth, killing Wilkes Booth, killing Lincoln, hiding in a warehouse. Well, Kennedy got shot from a warehouse, and the killer hid in a theater. I mean, all the reversal was the end of a curse that came from the Confederate War. It was a 100-year curse that every two decades manifested something negative, and it's all laid out in my Friday, last Friday's archive when it's up for that show that I do live. Because I've been working basically in this whole area so people could understand what is really going on. Now, with the hydrogen atom coming up in frequency, the white brotherhood will start to make its movements again in very strong ways. Now, the white brotherhood is connected to the Cirrus Blue Lodge, and the Sirians are another extraterrestrial group that will work through what's called the Blue Lodge, the White Lodge, which then works down through a lot of the Masonic lodges here today. Now, there's a lot of bad taste is going out towards the secrecy of the Masonic lodges. People are citing the Bush family. People are citing not only the Bush family, but the Masons as being secretive, that people have noticed that there's a Star of David in the streets in Washington, D.C. It's all laid out that way. It's actually like a scribe. If you really study the Masons, they're not a. Don't confuse the Freemasons with the Bohemian Club up in Santa Rosa, California. There's a big difference. Masons attend that. Masons are very manipulative, and Masons are very not manipulative. And it depends on the individual. However, they have a discipline that have studied these orders of knowledge, the orders of numbers, the orders of astrology, the orders of planetary motion, the orders of construction, mechanical failure, mechanical stress. They have, through science and philosophy, made something, a factual semblance of events, things to do and not to do, that is outgrown all religions. And because most religions are pointed towards a belief system, you know, the Piscean Age is that I believe, the Aquarian Age is I know, I don't need a Bible, I don't need anything, I know inside what's right and what's wrong. They've always gone along the knowing fact. And they're not all that secretive, and anybody can join these organizations that wants to and go up through the rites of initiation to attain a status of knowledge. And as you attain these rites of growth and order in these institutions, it's not about secrecy at all. It's about discipline and what you would or would not release to people that are uninformed. Because if you release information to to people that are uninformed about knowledge in general, they become dangerous with it. So it's only been a self-protecting thing, and I'm not selling anybody on masonry. You can do this without any, today in occultism and metaphysics and a little bit of common sense, you can do it on your own, because the consciousness is there. The hydrogen atom is vibrating so great now that it's possible for you to do this yourself. You don't really need go into one of these institutions. I, because of my government background and the things that I did, was part of the masonry. I reached the 33-degree order when I was 9 years old, and that's only because I had past life knowledge fed into me that made me automatic to do what I had to do to have that knowledge, and it didn't make me secretive. I would share that knowledge, and I have shared that knowledge of what the 33-degree order degree really was with people that really had a need and a right to know. I don't have a problem hiding that at all. It's just an understanding about the workings of the universe. And when you have that understanding, it gives you a confidence. Okay, secondly, we have a situation that occurs as the government, what I call the dark side of the government, the dark side of these orders, gets out of control. For example, we don't want this war in Iraq to stop because George Bush Sr. just acquired not too long ago through Zapata Oil 69 super tankers. Okay? So we have the United States military over there giving their lives daily so that in the Persian Gulf, we can load up a couple super tankers a day, each cargo worth about $500 million and haul them back to Texas and put this oil back in the ground in storage in these big oil fields where it's stored. And this is going on as we speak. And so therefore, if you remember correctly, Bush said that the Iraqi oil would be funding the war. Well, of course, the Iraqi oil didn't fund the war. As a matter of fact, the blood of American troops funded the war, and they're still continuing to die for this monetary cause. So things don't change. Well, things will change. I mean, this is a debate about, imagine the settlers, imagine that we're back, 200 years actually now. Imagine that we're back there under, the threat of, treason. Treason being where you are killed by the messengers of the king, the troops of the king, for doing or plotting or doing anything against the rule of King George of England at the time. He just didn't do that. Even certain verbal offenses. There was no freedom of speech. So now we're in the same situation. A lot of, we've used high tech. They've used these satellites. They use chemistry. They've used injection and programs to inject all kinds of horrible viruses and diseases into the not only the American public, but the whole world. We've talked about that on everything from chemtrails to, Tamiflu shots. We've covered that on all the programs. So we begin now to realize that there is a real problem out there. And it's a problem that we probably couldn't deal with all by ourselves. We get a little outside help. And going back on history once again, we realize that, now it's the mark of the beast more than the mark of the snake of the, the royal family at the time. Now when we go back and look at it, what's going on, we see the same thing. It's just the players have changed. The locations have changed. Same game. Habeas corpus was taken away. It's your freedom to, if you're arrested for any form of federal crime, you have no rights, zero, because we're in martial law. Martial law, if you listen to my radio shows from the 80s, which I've played and it's in the archives, and if you listen to my seminar thing that I'm putting on there now, every Friday it talks about this in great detail, we lost our freedoms again. But we didn't have any, basically, when Count Saint Germain came in to the Boston Congress and said, sign the document. So what we're looking for now is the person to show up on the balcony. Well, this time the playing field is the world and not just a little part of the continent, a little section of the North American continent. We're playing with the world now. We're playing with, earthquakes and the distortion of solar flares and how it causes earthquakes, weather changes, shifts in consciousness. We're playing around with ELF. We're playing around with heart projects, with your virtual antennas beaming radiation right down your throat to give you cancer. We're dealing with some high-tech stuff. So what we have now is an audience of high-tech people, high-tech beings that are involved. So the Grays have come in, and they've armed the government since the late 40s. They've been working with our government in one phase or another and brought in quite a bit of high-tech stuff, everything from transistors to certain optical things, fiber optics, a lot of high-speed technology, RF, radiation, ELF, a lot of technology was brought here from negative aliens. So as a result, positive aliens are going to be here. Positive aliens come. But it's necessary. The government did what it had to do, its due diligence, made its treaties, made its Area 51, you had to go through a complete vetting process to get in out there. To get into any of these programs, you had to be vetted and do your due diligence. So do you, the listeners of my show and the people of the world that are not directly associated with the government, and one out of four people pretty much is now. But those of you that aren't, you have to get off your daily routine and start to realize what's going on so that you can appreciate a little help from the White Brotherhood and the Divine Intervention of Andromedans and Pleiadians and what they have to offer, because they will not impede on our freedom. They will not impede on our freedom to have ourselves all stuck in one of these 612 concentration camps that are being built that Alex Jones has covered this recently, the one right out of Austin where he's broadcast from. Unless you wake up, you'll have these problems, and you'll be helpless, and you'll get scared, and you'll get paranoid, and you'll do nothing. And that's what they're counting on. They're counting on that a lot. That's why they hassle you. They don't want you to fly on planes anymore. That's why they did turn their back when the World Trade Center came down. That's why Marvin Bush went in there and allowed the explosive companies to evacuate once a week those World Trade Centers for several months before 9/11 so they could put the explosive charges in place. It's why a lot of things happened. You know, it's why on that day all our aircraft that would have come into the skies to bring these terrorists out of the skies were clear out here on the West Coast doing a drill about what happened if 9/11 was attacked. It's just, you have to be really dead and brain dead to not see what's going on, or else you don't care. If you don't care, then you'll probably end up in one of those concentration camps eventually. That's where a lot of people will go unless people start to wake up. And there's a lot of us out here trying to help you wake up. So, my part of this program, other than delivering lectures and radio shows all the way back to the 70s, that's what I did myself for years, working with the National Health Federation so you could still take vitamins without taking drugs. If the pharmacies had their way and the pharmaceutical companies had their way, ones that started before World War II and still run this country, they would be taking all your vitamins, all your nutrition off the shelves, and they would instead giving you a prescription which you would pay for, and you would be getting synthetic vitamins. And these synthetic vitamins would be basically robbing the life force out of you. In other words, they'd be killing you. You're already on the way to becoming walking dead. They would just seal your fate. So, as a result of seeing all this 30 years ago, I began to do a lot of research, and that's when I was doing research after I got out of NASA and working for Rockwell Corporation and a couple other in Lockheed Skunk Works. I began to do my own work because I realized that I had a great scientific background to base a lot of new information, and I became a contactee of the Pleiadians and other groups. So we began to develop a process. We began to develop a product line. We began to develop things that people could use, and we trailblazed the new Aquarian way for a new consciousness tool to work with for a lot of companies, because we were probably one of the very, very first to ever do any of this stuff. First thing that we got involved with was reshaping the carbon atom. We knew by looking at the Great Pyramid and looking at the chambers, as the chambers went from the base of the pyramid, actually the tunnel and the well shaft under the pyramid, going through the center of the pyramid, up into the king's chamber, which happened to, by the way, maintain a perfect temperature year-round, 68 degrees, which is a perfect temperature for the human body, all the way up into some of the chambers in the top that never were opened or discovered, including going out into the Sphinx and finding some Atlantean artifacts that were stashed away in there. Matter of fact, the curator of the Great Pyramid and I were friends back when we were about each 20 years old. So, I mean, I've been around that pyramid for a long, long time. There's, I think, 7 nuclear receptors placed in strategic places in it right now as we speak. We began to realize that the consciousness raises as you bring your consciousness up through the carbon atoms in your body. And when you do this, the body gets lighter and lighter and more etheric. When we developed our nuclear receptor product line, that was to get everybody in their bodies, to stop the despiraling of DNA. You know, when Methuselah, you know, lived back during the times of Atlantis. During his time, a 450-year lifespan was not uncommon. What happened was when they had the scalar wave warfares of 12495 BC in Atlantis, off where Bimini is now, the island, Poseidon came down and left a negative vortex there, which became known as the Bermuda Triangle. That frequency, coupled to the same triangle that's off the coast of Japan, and there's one off the coast of China, those three triangles brought down the etheric frequencies of the Earth. So that shortened the DNA reproduction cycle of the world. When you're giving birth as a mother, what tells the child, the fetus, to come out is when the base pair pattern is complete. In other words, you have 46 base pairs per turn. That means that the child will be pushed out of the mother. 46 base pairs per turn forms 46 chromosomes, which is the highest number of chromosomes and base pairs the human body will see in any lifetime. That represents 100% of the lifespan. That's how we measure it. As soon as the umbilical cord is cut on the child's fetus, on the child, the mother cuts the umbilical cord, or whoever's bringing the baby in. I delivered three of them myself, babies, my daughters. The base pairs per turn is cut down to 34. In other words, as soon as the baby goes from the mother's womb to taking oxygen from the outside world, 25% of the lifespan is lost in 1 second. On your 18th birthday, you have 18 base pairs per turn, and when you're 50, if you don't do something about it, you've got six. So basically, you're already in the grave at 50 years old. So realizing that, we began to develop energy products that would stop the despiraling of the DNA and slow down the aging process. With that, we began to develop trace minerals. Trace minerals were taken away 100 years ago. You know, minerals come in three different frequencies. The low frequencies, which make the red blood cells function and the hemoglobin and the breathing and all that stuff we don't think about working through the autonomic nervous system. The mid-range frequencies of the body, mineral frequencies, were come through chromium. Chromium picolinate, of course, is the number one thing to take when you're coming down with some kind of illness, not vitamin C. So as a result of that, those two minerals were in somewhat of abundance in our diet, but trace minerals weren't. For the last 100 years, they were not. Trace minerals work the parasympathetic nervous system in the body, whereas base minerals are working the autonomic, and the reflective minerals are working the sympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic is your psychic aerial. It's your ability to tune in and see a spaceship or tune in to your version of God or your higher nature, whatever you call it. That ability, the electricity to run all of that, is not available unless you take trace minerals supplementally. It was brought to the attention of the American public about 1927, 1924 actually. A guy named Hubb, H-U-B-B, was a retired geologist. In those days, it was quite common to die of a complication from arthritis, usually pneumonia. That's how Washington died. That's how Ethan Allen died. And he was, this geologist, Hubb, was coming down with a lot of arthritis. Well, he was up there with the Paiute Indians in Utah, and so he had a ranch, and the Indians liked him, and they put him in a stream. And all of a sudden, his arthritic swelling went down. And he thought it was, he didn't understand how it was happening, but it in fact was. So as a result, he studied the stream and the water, and his arthritis went away, and he discovered a red clay. And the red clay was from a 2,000-year-old mineral deposit of trace minerals from vegetation that occurred at that time in a rainforest, which is up there 2,000 years ago. It's amazing how in 2,000 years you lose a rainforest in the northern continent. But we did. So they started bringing this clay out and extracting the trace minerals from it. That's where our trace minerals come from. So we developed a product called Pirillo. Very tasty, very nice. In 3 days taking this stuff, you'll feel the difference. Everybody feels the difference because it brings some of your consciousness back into your body. And all of the things that we developed do that. When we finally got over to the receptor, the nuclear receptor, we were working directly now with a hydrogen atom. And the hydrogen atom has seven different frequencies, seven different colors. It creates the rainbow, and when it's mixed with water, hydrogen and oxygen create water, rainbows, reflection, refractive index of light, breaks it down in seven frequencies. It does the same thing in your body. Your body is what? Water and hydrogen. So as a result of that, you're able to function better, and we always test you because we have found that people are deficient in one of seven different frequencies of hydrogen. You just don't repair the hydrogen atom like put a new coat of paint on it. It doesn't work that way. You go in, each hydrogen atom, each color of the hydrogen atom is applicable and applies to one of the seven chakras. The seven chakras, one run from our willpower, which is a level of consciousness. Our love is another level of consciousness. Our thought process, a level of consciousness. Our sexual drive is a level of consciousness. They're all feelings. And people are devoid of some feeling, or maybe they're devoid of two or three of them. There's some of it there, but the whole feeling, the whole structure to make the hormone, because unless a hormone is produced, by the way, the hormone is made up of proteins. Proteins are made up of, trace minerals and minerals and enzymes. That's all they are, combined. So if there's a hormone deficiency in the body, there's going to be a consciousness deficiency. And when you get into the immune system and you have that problem, you can bet your pH factor is going to be off, and you're susceptible to a cancerous disease or a rheumatic disease or some form of disease. You're susceptible to it. If your pH factor is up, then you're not susceptible to these different diseases. Remember, dis-ease. So what we do is we muscle test you for the color that you need. Then that receptor is placed on you, and you wear it. Now, the body reproduces cells at the rate of 90 million per second. And if it's not reproducing them that fast, then there's a premature de-evolution of DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, in the body. It's a de-evolving process. It's de-spiraling, usually out to telomeres. Telomeres is the one that, once it cuts down to that, it doesn't reproduce past that particular gene in the body anymore. The first, when you put the receptor on, after you found out, let's say your green energy, your throat chakra is weak, throat thyroid's off, whatever. Once you're tested and you're wearing this stone, which would be an emerald, which is like a filter for the little receptor that you're wearing, that will allow you to process vitamin C 500% more effectively. Your body metabolism will immediately go up. Your assimilation will go up, and you'll probably burn up more fat, and a lot. You'll just start getting younger. Your body does that. The receptor doesn't do it. You're doing it. It's just helping you. Remember, nothing can heal yourself or change you but yourself. You have to do that yourself. There are things that will speed up the process. That's all we're saying here. No claims. So, once this process starts, red blood cells reproduce in their entirety in 90 days. So having worn this receptor with this frequency of emerald green on there, which is cleansing all of the atoms in the red blood cell, are four carbon atoms, two alpha chains, two beta chains, two sugars, two phosphates, just like the DNA, same thing. And this is now cleansed and recirculated. Okay, it's cleansed and recirculated. So as a result of that, after several months, your bones, of course, take 7 years to reproduce, and they are reproduced. You don't have the same set of bones from your body from 27 to 37. You got different bones, and that's why, and you might have had a great healthy bones when you were 18, 19 years old because you remember your organs are bigger, your assimilation was better. But after you're 30 years old, your organs that break all these things down into nutrients start shrinking too. That's why we make a human growth hormone spray, not a thing that's a fake, the real deal. We have that. We spray it. We use a lot of that with our receptors. But the bottom line here is you need to get the frequencies running in the body properly so that your bones don't deteriorate. You know, women after 50, if you're not doing the right thing, you know, you're going to have osteoporosis. You're going to start losing calcium. Calcium is what the bones are made out of. A lot of people don't realize it, that your body doesn't use calcium after the bones stop growing to make more bones. The body uses it to keep your heart beating. And if your assimilation of calcium is down because your vitamin D isn't present, that's usually what's wrong with people. Vitamin D is necessary to assimilate calcium. In order to keep your heart operating, producing what's called actin, you need to have that calcium in your body and the trace minerals to break it down and the proper factions in the chakra system, the digestive tract, to work. So if you don't have that, what happens is your body starts draining your bones. So now when you're 50 to 57, you might have lost 25% of your bone structure. Now your bones are going to break. These are the kinds of stupid things that you have to deal with. And so what we do is we muscle test you after about 6 or 8 months with a nuclear receptor, and probably that whatever, let's say the thyroid was wacky, now it's fine. Now we'll find the next weakest link in the chain. And this process goes on and on and on until you end up with what we call the white frequencies or the high yellows, where you're wearing an actual diamond or a yellow diamond. I personally am very good with the diamonds in my frequencies. But I started out originally, I think, wearing an amethyst, you know, because that's what I needed at the time. That was many years ago. So these are the kinds of things that are very important to understand. The receptor program is ongoing. Now you get into our projector program. This is a dual receptor. When you look at one of those, there's pictures of them on the BBS website or on Paradigm's website. When you look at that, that's Andromedan technology. It's not Pleiadian. What happens is there, with that technology, is it actually unwinds the DNA, exactly opposite of what the receptor does, but it doesn't do it on the physical plane. The physical plane, the DNA keeps on winding up like it's supposed to, but it becomes more etheric. And so when you're using the projector and you're despiraling the DNA, you're despiraling into the fourth dimension. So this makes your body quite etheric. And when your body becomes etheric, and I believe me, I've seen etheric beings, they're very physical, they take birth just like we do, but they live long enough to go etheric. It takes a few hundred years to do that. You just don't do it in a simple string of 10 decades. It's not going to happen, okay? You need to have a longer range DNA program. So the projector takes you in that direction. When you start using the Andromedan technology, what happens is, and you've heard people on my show, you've listened to Dr. Valerie Harper on this network, they talk about making wishes and things coming true and things happening very fast. And you hear about this and you wonder, well, how is that possible? Is this some kind of a magic bullet or something? No. It's when you go into your etheric energy, anything is possible. You don't have to go through all the karma. There's no karma there at all, none. So you transcend karma. And when you transcend karma, the universe just does what you tell it to do. You can tell it, if you tell it to do a negative thing with the projector technology, it's not going to do it because it's got a program built into it by the universe itself where there is no good or evil. There is only progression or deprogression. And seeing as there's so much negative energy going out there with these governments trying to control the populace of the world, they don't see that anymore. So there's plenty of negative stuff. They don't go there. They just go in a positive direction. So I get a lot of questions from a lot of people. You know, do I have to wear the receptor before I use the projector? You don't have to do anything. I'm not your personal God. What I do recommend is that you use the receptor, get familiar with it at times when you're not using the projector so you can see the difference on your body, because it does produce a very remarkable, very different effect on your body from one device to the other. And then when you start using the standalone technology that we've developed, you're coming into another level where you're absolutely blasting into these big wave packets for the entire planet. And this energy is supported by the Andromedan consciousness. When you talk about consciousness, there are groups of consciousness because of the rotation of our planet around the Pleiades, and we're coming into the Aquarian age, and you're tuning up your hydrogen atom, you become much more susceptible to mass or group consciousness. You know, we have all our own individual consciousness, but believe me, you get thoughts and impressions all the time. You know, if you go into a very dirty, bad, horrible, stinky bathroom in a gas station, you don't feel really good in there. It feels a lot better to be sitting under a tropical tree in Hawaii having a nice coconut drink than walking into a dirty gas station. So you get the picture, you know, your influence. And so when you start setting up the projector technology and you start watching through the camera here that's located on the websites of Paradigm and this one, and also our new website will have that, the raysoftruthtv.com. We're going to have and that's a brand new interactive website that we just set up. It's going to be huge. It's manned by a very competent staff, far better than my own personal staff that I have, which are great. We're just under manpower here. That's why we answer your phone calls so late. Anyway, when you start using this stuff, then your synapses in your brain start firing a little faster. Your awareness will pick up, and then you'll start getting a picture or a view of some of the outside influence of the extraterrestrial. That's good. The way the government does it on the bad side with the drug companies is that we have what's called a reptilian consciousness. And a reptilian consciousness and a reptilian field of energy is such that when you try to get high, like on drugs or alcohol and things, in many situations, you end up in a controlling environment of many people like yourself that's also being guided by dark masters. And when this happens, what happens is, you know, your immune system is the first thing to be affected because that is your consciousness. And so as a result, you start to get sick. So now you go down and get some drugs. Usually depression sets in. You know, even before disease, depression comes first. So you go to the drug companies and you start getting all these Effexors and Prozac and all these different drugs that are made up primarily of cyclohexene, cyclohexane, and papyridine compounds. Pretty much all of this stuff. And so when you start ingesting these things into your life, what happens is you are now setting up a vibratory frequency in your body. You're going to be bouncing off some ELF energy that the satellites produce, and they beam everybody on everybody, and you're going to come into the reptilian consciousness. And the latest, of course, drug slogans are, you know, this drug doesn't work, why don't you try this one? You know, side effects are only bleeding of the arteries, you know, hardening of the arteries, diarrhea, and death. But other than that, try it if it's for you. You know, that's stupidity of the ad companies out there, the balls, they're very ballsy, these drug companies, putting these kinds of ads out. And it's pretty much pathetic, I think. And speaking of where we are now, in Tamiflu, as I've covered many shows on, look inside the archives and all of that. Go ahead and you'll see many, many different things that I've done in past shows. A lot of that stuff's going to be in my next book, Rays of Truth. I mean, Inside Track. But speaking of stupidity, we're coming up now to PSA. That's what we're going to do today, and that's going to be my next topic coming up. The hassling of the American public, made possible by the staging of the World Trade Center and 3,000 lives being lost, amplified by, as Bush says, we need to be in Iraq. That brings you freedom at home. Well, what it does is it gives you a bonding at home. And the terrorism is more likely to occur by more harassment in the Middle East, as we all know by now. So anyway, let's talk about the Transportation Security Administration. I'm going to have to come up with some better initials than that. I call it maybe the Tea Party Stupidity Administration. Anyway, I have one of my clients, Valerie Olmsted, was carrying one of our MicroStar. The MicroStar, you'll see it, it's a small fire star that's used for meditation. It's used to, you take it in a hotel room and it makes it like a temple. You know, it vibrates the whole room up really nice. Well, they decided to open one of those up on the airplane. And I really like these organizations because they have a right to steal. The equivalent of TSA is in England at Heathrow Airport. And my friend Wesley Snipes recently, when he was going down to Namibia, to do that latest cowboy film that he did, he had one of my platinum projectors in his luggage. And so he went through Heathrow Airport, and they promptly stole it. So it only cost him, you don't want to know how much money it cost him to get this replaced because it wasn't insured. He was wearing his projector that day, and he didn't want to have the receptor on, so he thought he'd just ship it. Well, he'll never do that again. So anyhow, Dr. Olmsted, they opened up the case. They looked at this device, and it's in a FBI case used by the FBI to carry their weapons around. It's a bulletproof case, very strong. In there, it's packed in foam. So they proceed to open it and break it all up. They broke the ends off of it. They didn't have to do that. They literally tore it apart. And this is a structure. There's nothing hidden in it. You know, it's a small pyramids. Look at the website. You'll see it. It's called the MicroStar. So they put this stupid little tag in there, which I'm holding right now. I'm going to put it up on the website. It's in Spanish, and it's in English on the other side. It says, Notice of Baggage Inspection. To protect you and your fellow passengers, the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, is required by law to inspect all checked baggage. As part of this process, some bags are opened and physically inspected. Your bag was among those selected for physical inspection. Wow. During the inspection, your bag and its contents may have been searched for prohibited items. At the completion of the inspection, the contents were returned to the bag. Well, not in one piece they weren't. In Wesley's case, they weren't returned. They were stolen. If the TSA screener was unable to open your bag for inspection because it was locked, the screener may have been forced to break the locks on your bag. TSA sincerely regrets having to do this. However, TSA is not liable for damage to your locks resulting from this necessary security precaution. Like what happened to X-rays? Would they do it in many, many countries? Why don't they do it here? For packaging and tips and suggestions on how to secure your baggage during your next trip, please visit www.tsa.gov. We appreciate your understanding and cooperation. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to contact the TSA Contact Center. Phone 866-289-9673. Email tsacontactcenter@dhs.gov. Well, I want to say this to all the TSA people. You are put in a position of trust for our security, and you are in the trust, you're allowed to see what the contents are. And Dr. Umstead contacted you and refused to pay for the damages. Now she has to pay several hundred dollars to get this thing repaired. On top of that, you steal things. And so all TSA people that steal things, I want you to take a little voyage of your own, a hot rod trip to hell.